Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies or tender mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So far, in fact, I like to read many more verses, but for the sake of time, I think this will be enough. And I probably will quote verses which I have written down here on a piece of paper. Now I thought to speak about a subject which is in fact a general subject, guidance. And it may be tonight that I am thinking more about my younger brother and sister in the hall. And I am happy to see indeed many young brethren and sisters. Now to think about guidance in our lives, I don't know what your experience is till now in your Christian living to have the guidance of the Lord in your lives. Guidance of the Lord, of course, is connected completely with knowing the will of God. Now, if you see, you know, in scriptures about guidance, you find the word guide or guidance many times in the Old Testament, but only a few times in the New Testament. Because in the Old Testament, as we think about the Psalms, especially, where the psalmist prays for guidance, or where you have the promise of God, for example, he shall guide the meek, the humble one. And we know that the humble one, the meek, shall eat and shall be satisfied. And God has nothing left over for an heart in which is pride. It is always God's promise given to the meek. The guidance in the Old Testament is the experience of the individuals, as it was not yet the time of the Holy Spirit, of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And we know that God's Spirit was working in the lives and upon the single ones. But now we live in a different time. And I think there was not so much, what shall I say, that of course the necessity is always to pray for the Lord's guidance, but in fact in the New Testament we find the word guide or guidance only a few times. But we find far more the expression, the will of God, the will of the Lord. And I think it goes hand in hand, because receiving guidance from the Lord, it means that I am doing His will. This is guidance of the Lord in my life, in doing His will. So in the New Testament, if we think about verses, and I quote them for you in Ephesians 5. Understand what the will of the Lord is. But to understand what the will of the Lord is not yet sufficient. We can understand things as in head knowledge. And therefore, if we come into a little later into Ephesians chapter 6, doing the will of the Lord from the heart, and here you have the practice.
It is an understanding of the will of the Lord, and at the same time, the practice in my life in doing the will of the Lord. From the heart. And I don't like to see a Christian, a young brother or a sister, who has a kind of a major obedience as an form. No, that we always do things from the heart. So in Colossians, and our brother Maxwell read last night, chapter 1, verse 9, that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Again, knowledge. But you go on in Colossians, chapter 4, that he may stand, and that is a practical standing in your Christian life, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So in Thessalonians, we find very practical points, because in that letter you have repeatedly written, for this is the will of God. For this is the will of God. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And now you know what the will of the Lord is. Even your sanctification. We continue in Thessalonians chapter 5, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Very simple. What is the will of God for you and for me? Our sanctification. Then according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, to give thanks for everything or in everything. And then in Hebrews we have a verse in chapter 13 verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Sanctification, giving thanks, and to do every good work. Also again repeated in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 15, with well doing. And here we have the will of the Lord for you and for me. Now what I said, in the New Testament, in fact, the word guidance, we find it in Acts, where the Ethiopian man asked, who shall I know? You know, when Philip asked him, do you know what you are reading? How can I know if nobody guides me? And that was a guidance unto salvation. Now the other words speaking about guidance, and I think it is in connection with salvation, in Luke's Gospel it is very clearly written, He shall guide our feet into the way of peace. So guidance of the Lord is connected with peace. And I think this is of great importance to see the guidance of the Lord in your life. Then we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, how the Lord Jesus spoke about the Comforter to come, the Teacher to come, the Guide to come, and He shall guide you, or He will guide you into all truth. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13. Now, I think about guidance, we have only these references in the New Testament. But again, the will of God. And here we have enough for you and for me. Because in receiving guidance or in experiencing guidance in a most practical way, it means that I am willing. I am absolutely surrendered to do the will of the Lord. And so I think for receiving guidance of God in our lives, there are conditions set.
You know, if we are enjoying things in the world or something like that, or, you know, in fact are living a life not in close communion with our Lord, it is a difficult thing to ask and to pray for guidance. There are conditions set, and I think we find these conditions here in chapter 12 of the Romans letter. Now this passage here of Romans chapter 12 has been taken up, I suppose, many times. Even the conferences I have experienced 4 or 5 years ago, I remember at least 2 times, when I was in Canada or the U.S., that a brother spoke about chapter 12 of Romans. Now I don't like to go into the details at all of this passage, but I like to point out just the conditions in order to receive guidance from the Lord. And I think the conditions are what we find in the word to present. To present. Now another word for present, I think, is the word yield. We have sung together in our hymn that we may yield ourselves more to Thee. To present. It is a gift to God. It is, in fact, it is to be surrendered unto the Lord. This is the meaning of it. Not holding something for ourselves and realizing as Christians, as those ones saved by the marvelous grace of our Lord and Savior, that also our body belongs to Him. And it should be proved in me whether I belong to the Lord in showing and in behaving myself in such a way that I completely, with my mind, with my soul, with my body, belong to my Savior, to the Lord Jesus. So I think here in chapter 12, we have that presentation and that complete surrender. Now here it is spoken about the bodies. We can take and we think about in Psalm word which speaks about the heart. We know that a pleasing sacrifice before the Lord is a broken heart. But you know, many times we can experience to be broken one time and then we pick up the pieces again and fix something and have again tried in our daily life. And if it concerns something broken before the Lord, then the Lord must have indeed all the pieces. It belongs to Him. As a broken soul, as a broken heart, under the mighty hand of God, to humble ourselves, my dear brother and sister, what have we still to learn a lot? To humble ourselves. If we think about the Lord Jesus, how it was prophesied about Him in that wonderful Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do Thy will. When we think about the Lord Jesus at the beginning of His ministry here on earth, my means is to do the will of my Father. When we think about the Lord Jesus towards the end of His ministry there, where He was going to suffer, to go through a suffering of which we have no understanding at all. Where He prayed, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. The submission of the Lord Jesus as the Son, as the Lamb of God, knowing for what purpose He came to this world. Oh, what a perfect man. The Lord Jesus was the one who could give this invitation, come unto me and learn of me. And learn of me. Because I am humble and low in heart. Here we have the perfect one. The perfect one. But still, my dear brother and sister,
the lesson is there for you and for me to learn day after day.
Now, to receive guidance of the Lord, again, it is to know His will. Now, may I just in a few practical remarks speak about guidance, also taking something up, how I experience things as guidance of the Lord. Now, I am sure that you agree with me, guidance of the Lord is to be found in His Word. Guidance of the Lord is never something contrary to His Word. It cannot be. It cannot be. We had a nice Christian, in fact, a sweet brother, really, in the work in the assembly there in Japan, in Tsunami, and you know, he was shortly saved, went on for a time, and then suddenly he did not come to the meetings on the Lord's Day. And one Sunday went by, and second Sunday went by, and I contacted him, and he said, yes, because he liked so much hiking, he said, I went up the mountain, you know, and in quietness of the beautiful nature, I was there to worship the Lord. Now, of course, we had to speak to this brother, because there is no replacement of what we do in remembering our Lord. And again, I like to emphasize this also, that we come together not at first for worship on the Lord's Day, but to remember our Lord. And I am sure the result is worship, that we come together to remember our Lord. And the result will be worship. And in the same way, I am absolutely convinced about it, in a ministry meeting the same. And in my private life, there is the worshipping moment, and I hope to have the many moments to worship the Lord. And to worship the Lord is to say good things about our Lord and Savior and to exalt Him as Lord. Worship. God is always guiding through His precious word. Now then we can, and we must be sure of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We like to hear those words, and we utter them in prayer, and we utter them one to another. You know, if we are together here for a conference again, or whether it is in the local assembly for ministry, the reason or the purpose is to hear His voice speaking to you. To you. To you. And the indwelling Spirit is at work. And may He have really room in you and me to work. My dear brother and sister, how sweet it is to hear the voice of the Lord. But here again, the voice of the Lord, hearing the voice of the Lord is not anything contrary to the word, to the written word of God. But it is the word of the Holy Spirit, that we get a hold of this word, which we call the Bible, or the book without the title. And you can't go to a library and tell there the lady or the gentleman, give me the book. Because you have all kinds of books with a title, but you know the Bible, it simply means the gloss book. Because it is God's book. Now we have His Word, we have the voice of the Holy Spirit working in us. And many times as we hear, especially older brethren say so often, in our times it may be a small voice, but yet it is the voice of the Lord. Now whether it is a small voice, as long as we still hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us, let it have the result in surrendering ourselves to Him and obeying His word. Guidance is through His word, by His word. Guidance is through the indwelling Spirit. Hearing His voice, and guidance, I think, is also in connection with things
which are outside of us, the outside circumstances, God is using, for example, to guide us. I cannot imagine that nowadays, for example, a young brother would say to me or to the brethren or to the elders, I got the call from the Lord to go as a missionary to China, and I mean communist China. That cannot be, because China is completely closed. It is impossible for a missionary to enter China. Also in Paul's ministry in the Acts of the Apostles, it was a matter how he was guided to see the open door, and when a door slammed behind him, God was again opening another door. But it was a closed door and an open door. And a closed door and an open door. And a closed door and an open door. And that was the service of Paul. And I think nowadays we have to see that the outward circumstances are serving God's people to recognize what is guidance. Now, young brother and young sister, guidance of the Lord is of great importance. And I think it is an importance of our daily Christian living. But you may say, especially because I know, you know, we may have our job, and a good job, and we may have our home, and we may have our everyday routine, regular life, and every day it is the routine of the same regular life. And you ask yourself what is even needed in this case as guidance of the Lord. And yet, guidance is in reality in the life of existence. Because there is guidance in whom I am going to meet tomorrow. Wherever I go to, wherever I be, there is nothing by chance in the life of a Christian, in the life of the one who is trusting his Lord and Savior. Things are worked out, and we know he has a pattern for your life and my life, and guidance must be a reality of every day. Now I know there are certain circumstances in life where we pray in a special way for guidance of the Lord. You think about a job. Now I realize that we, in this time of depression, we are living not in easy times. It is not anymore as, let's say, 3 or 5 years or 8 years ago or something like that. Things are getting more difficult for brethren and sisters. But you know, I think that also concerning our job, if something is interfering with the testimony of the local assembly to which we belong, where we identify ourselves with God's people, you know, we have to watch those things. It happens, for example, in Japan so often, and it is quite a difficult problem in Japan, because you can go to an evening meeting in a Japanese assembly, wherever it may be, and you find probably only 30% or 20% of the people there. That's an evening meeting. Because more than 80% of all men come home the earliest at 9 o'clock at night, or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And this is really a hard thing in the work in Japan to do your evangelistic work even in the evening hours. Now you have situations in Japan where they have to work on the Lord's Day, on the Sundays. And yet at the other hand, as we teach these young believers, nothing should interfere with the life of the assembly. It is marvelous to see how there is really that zeal on the part of a young brother and sister in Japan to do all that he can. I know even of a man working in a telephone company. It was up in Morioka. He is now a tremendous evangelist in the work in Japan, our brother Miura. But he had sometimes to work on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. And he went to a colleague and he said, "Now, listen, you know, can we make an agreement?" And you know, he lost the finances will consume. But he found always somebody in the company to take his place. And it was accepted like that. But the man did all what he could, even if it wasn't financial loss, to be with God's people in the assembly. I know of a brother in Takasaki, he had a good job, but the evening work was always till about 8 or 9 o'clock. He could not attend the evening meetings. Even sometimes, or at least once or twice in a month's time, he was not there on the Lord's Day. He changed his job, earning a wage far more less than the nice job and excellent job he had before. He lost financially. No problem, no problem. The Lord shall reward him, because that man had a heart for the Lord's people and for the Lord's testimony. And you find young brethren and sisters who do all that they can, that their job will not interfere with the hours of the assembly. And that is an example, and I think probably you don't have so much the problem here over in the US and in Canada, but yet, my dear brother and sister, if you are in a situation that you can't attend for some or another reason, whatever it may be, to attend the evening meeting, the weekday meeting, you search yourself honestly before the Lord whether it is right or wrong. Because I think if it concerns a prayer meeting, a weekday meeting, or a ministry meeting, the composition of that meeting should be the same as on the Lord's Day. Now, I know there are exceptions if you have small children. Of course, there are. But in a normal, situation, it should be so that we attend all the meetings of the local assembly. God's guidance in your work. God's guidance what marriage is concerned. Oh, yes. Now, and I am going to say something, please don't get married for the sake of being married. Is that all right? Sometimes you find girls who are so eager and talking about marriage. Not thinking yet about a partner at all, and not knowing a partner, but just that fact to be married. Oh, how nice it would be. But don't get married for the sake of being married. Because we are convinced that God has a pattern for you in your life. And you know, it concerns to have your partner given by the Lord Himself. Now, when I came to this point, I'm getting a bit personal, you know, tonight. Now, I did not have much courage, but I wrote a letter to Vera, now my wife, of course. And there was a small park in our sitting. And I got her from her home, and we walked together. Now, I did not have much courage, you know, to speak about these things. I will not say that I was really shy. That was probably not the case, but it is a matter of courage. And it came so far that the words came out of my mouth, you know. Oh, that was something. Now, I was so far to get these words over to her, that I meant to marry her, whether she was willing to be my wife, to become my wife. And you know, I had my call. That was sure in my heart for Japan. So there was far more involved than your normal life here in the United States or in Canada. Because in marrying that girl, it would mean that she would follow me or be with me going off or going to a far country, to be completely separated from her parents, her home, and from her city where she lived, and from her country where she was raised, and to be in a strange country with all kinds of strange customs, and so on and so on. And the hardship she was in for the future in learning, and one of the most difficult languages in the world, Japanese. So, you know, I thought it was also a matter of my call to go to Japan. I thought I'd be honest to her, and I said, now I give you half a year's time to pray about it, because I wanted to have the exercise of heart before a decision was made. And I think this is what is lacking in our time. There is not much exercise anymore in our heart before God. And she said, you know, she took also courage. She said, I don't need half a year. I said, no, okay. And so I had to continue, of course, this conversation, you know. I said, now let us make it 3 months. What about that? Would that be okay? About, you know. She said, no, I don't need 3 months. I thought, what I'm answering now? I said, now let us make it 1 month. 4 weeks, is that okay? She said, no, I don't need 4 weeks. I said, yeah, what do you mean? She said, I am already exercised about this during 3 years. My prayer is answered. And that is wonderful. Dear young brother and sister, God is always with. God is never working on one side, be sure of that. God is working on the other side in the same way and preparing a young man and a young lady, a young brother and a young sister, preparing for a life together in marriage. The preparation of God was already done in her heart. And it was marvelous, really, what the Lord has done in speaking to her. And honestly, if you know about our situation before, there was not so much meeting each other, not at all. And it was just remarkable that I knew for absolutely as in the will of the Lord, as guidance of the Lord for me, that Kura was to be my wife. And there she came. You know, at first I went off to Japan in 1955. Now, just before I left, we got engaged, officially. And 1 year later, she came to Japan. I remember that day of yesterday, of course, my bride-to-be, and there she was. And I had the camera with me, and I took all kinds of pictures, you know. And in the meantime, I had already taken 50 shots, I think. And then I looked into the camera, and there was no film in it. But I did not need any more the pictures, because she was there, you know, so that was okay. Now, dear brother and sister, please, take guidance of the Lord as something which should be in your life. By His Word, by the indwelling Holy Spirit in us, the voice of the Lord, but always in full harmony, of course, with the Bible, with the written word of the Lord. And then the circumstances in which the Lord is guiding you, there is nothing by chance. And I am sure if there is enough exercise in the heart of the younger Christian, as well as in the heart of the older Christian. Because, my dear brother and sister, if you hear sometimes about things which are happening in the assembly, excuse me, but I think there is a lack of exercise before the Lord. What a great responsibility is ours, especially when it comes to matters of the assembly. My dear brother and really don't act out of a situation, a certain situation, solving. My dear brother and really don't act out of a situation, a certain situation, solving something without even having prayed about it. Because the exercise before the Lord is a necessity. Is a necessity. And I'm sure if there would be more that exercise of heart in you and in my life, that the Lord is, is able to do greater things in the assemblies, for the assemblies, and also in the private lives of you and of me, and also in especially the lives of our younger brethren and sisters, in experience the wonderful guidance of the Lord, that keep your heart exercised before the Lord, having an surrendered life, knowing that the Lord is asking the presentation even of your body, or let it be so, and that we show ourselves as such people who belong to the Lord. May the Lord bless this simple testimony, and especially his most precious word.